Go back to the 15th chapter of Mark's Gospel tonight. Read verses 15 through 20 and verse 24. And Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head. And he began to salute him, and "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him on the head with a reed, and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. In verse 24, and when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pilate, wishing to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he scourged him to be crucified. Pilate in his weakness gives in to the crowd. And after he has scourged Jesus. Now he didn't do this himself, of course. He would not exert himself and bloody his hands with such a foul deed. And as I read the scripture again, I wondered why he had him scourged. Was this necessary? Well, it really wasn't necessary. It was just the custom. It appeared that once the sentence was given that a man should be crucified, that scourging always preceded crucifixion. And the soldiers, of course, were the one who carried out this dastardly deed. It was awful beyond our ability to understand, hardly even to imagine. It was terrible torture. The scriptures could just as easily have read, after he had tortured him, he delivered him to be crucified. When scourging took place, the victim was stripped. His hands were tied together, and he was laid over a post and tied to it with his back bent double and conveniently exposed to the lash. And the lash was a long leather thong studded with pieces of bone, pellets of lead. Such scourging reduced the naked body to strips of raw flesh and inflamed and bleeding wells. Some died as a result of it. Some went insane. Few remained conscious to the end. This was the first thing the soldiers did to Jesus. Of course, they didn't know him. They were not angry with him. They were just carrying out orders. You know, they were good Roman soldiers. In the time between the sentence and the crucifixion, the scourging took place. Then while some made preparations for the crucifixion, the soldiers apparently relieved their boredom by mocking Jesus. If you look at the scene, the action of the Jews in having Jesus arrested, tried, and condemned was filled with hatred and envy and jealousy. They wanted to get rid of him, have him out of the way. The action of Pilate was a cowardly evasion of responsibility. He didn't care about anybody except himself. Please the people, keep the peace. After all, who cares about one radical Jew preacher? The action of the soldiers was cruel, but we don't think there's any malice in it. This is just a way of having a little fun, breaking the routine, easing the boredom. They could not have cared less about Jesus as a person. He meant nothing to them. So it was, since he'd been accused of claiming to be a king, they clad him first with a purple robe. We don't know where they got this. Maybe one of the soldiers wore a purple robe and they took it and put on Jesus. But purple, of course, was a sign of royalty. And he claimed to be a king. So they put a purple robe on him. They planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. A purple robe, sign of royalty, a crown of thorns. This added to his pain and to their fun. They began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed and spat upon him, hitting his head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp, adding to his pain, and then adding the greatest of insults, they spat upon him. They knelt down before him and worshipped him. Of course, it was all mockery, but you can almost ask, how did they do it? To spit upon someone and then kneel to worship. Well, the soldiers were just having fun. It was all just coarse jest. They didn't really mean anything by it. But now the fun and game's over. They take off the purple robe, give it back to who it belongs to, put Jesus' own clothes back on him, and now they lead him away to crucify him. And here Mark uses so few words. Verse 24 again. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. When they had crucified him. Before a person was crucified, they were stripped naked, except perhaps for a loincloth. The nails, we would call them spikes, would be driven through the hands or through the wrist of the condemned man. The feet would either be nailed or bound to the cross. And then they were hung up to die. Their weight hanging upon their shoulders, pulling their shoulders out of socket. Excruciating pain. A person would be left to suffer the pain of the scourging, of the nails, of the dehydration, of the gnats and the flies sucking away their life's blood. Some actually lasted for days. Some went totally insane. Some died quickly. All had to endure the taunts of the crowds of onlookers, while the crucified one suffered and their life's blood ebbed away. And most of them died of asphyxiation, hanging there, unable to breathe. They died. But while the crucified ones suffered and their life's blood ebbed away, the soldiers gambled for their garments. The clothes of the one being crucified became the property of the soldiers who led them to the place of crucifixion. William Barclay said that every Jew wore 5 articles of clothing: his shoes, his turban, his girdle, his inner garment, and his outer cloak. The 4 soldiers that carried him there would divide out the 4 articles, all of them about equal value. But the outer cloak was more valuable than all the others. So it was for Jesus' outer cloak that the soldiers gambled. It's a dirty, bloody business being a Roman soldier at a crucifixion. You might as well get all out of it you can. After all, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Get everything you can. Well, the soldiers have done their thing. The dividing of the clothes is done. They sat down on guard until death comes to the 3 on their crosses. There's such an awful job, but now it's done. And I must ask, does any of this say anything to us in our day? Does it say anything to us about our lives? And sometimes I really wonder if we are very different from the soldiers then. They made sport of Jesus. They had their fun at his expense. It was bloody and violent and cruel. Do you ever think and ask why so much of our entertainment today is filled with violence? Our so-called sporting events, boxing, hockey, to some degree football and others, tend to be so violent. Our TV programs, movies, filled with murder and rape and all kinds of violence, and we sit and watch them and say, this is entertainment. If this is what entertains us, to see violence, are we really much different than the soldiers? And they took off Jesus' clothes and clothed him first in that military cloak of another Roman soldier. Don't we sometimes try to dress Jesus to suit us? We dress him in our patriotic uniform. After all, regardless of the conflict our nation might be in, we always know God's on our side, don't we? It was attributed to Abraham Lincoln that during the dark days of the Civil War, someone asked him one day, Mr. Lincoln, do you think God is on our side? And Lincoln supposedly answered, what's really important is not whether God is on our side, or whether what's important is whether or not we are on God's side. But we try to put God on our side, whether we're on His side. We dress him in our Western culture and know that we are favored over others. We dress him in our denominational structure and liturgy and modes of worship. You know, Jesus was bound up in a Methodist, wasn't he? Are we willing to put him in his own clothes and let him be himself? Be the man that he was and is. They crowned him with thorns and worshipped him. Do we ever do a similar thing? When we call him Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that he said, are we not in effect mocking him? He said of some people, you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. If we do that, are we not mocking him? When we worship him with our lips while our hearts are far from him, are we not mocking him? When we give our lives to self-seeking, when we put profit before people, pride before humility, is there any reality in saying, crown him Lord of all? Is there any validity in our singing, where he leads me, I'll follow, when we fail to forgive, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. When we fail to take up our cross and follow him. They gambled for his clothing. Right before their eyes, God displayed his love for them and for all people. Right before their eyes, Jesus assured a dying thief of salvation. And they heard it. They heard it. Right before their eyes and within their hearing, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, but they seem to be deaf and blind. All they wanted from Jesus was the worn clothes that he had on, an extra pair of shoes, maybe a girdle, a turban, an inner garment. And if this is their lucky day, they might win his cloak. So much was available from Jesus. They were interested in so little. They took his garments, that which he wanted to give them. They weren't interested in. they took nothing at all of what he offered. Have we ever been like them? Have we taken the name Christian, memorized the creeds and the forms of the church, received bountiful material gifts that have become ours, but never taken Jesus as Savior and Lord and Master? I couldn't help but think about it tonight. As far as we know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with those lights up there. Nothing at all. They are perfect as far as we know. In perfect working condition. But they have no power to make them come alive. Until you and I have received from our Lord the gift of His Holy Spirit, we might be in perfect working order, but we will be as impotent and without the light of the world shining through us as those lights are unless we receive His Spirit. Have we received His Spirit that we might live in victory and faithfulness? Or we like the soldiers, receive only that which was available at no cost, rather than receiving that which cost Him His life. Lord Jesus, forgive us for being content with things that we can receive. Help us to receive Your Spirit, the gift of Your amazing love, made available for us at Calvary. And may we, empowered by Your Spirit, go forth to truly be the light of the world. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.